Let's go ahead and reconvene this meeting. Right now we're moving on to item number 22. This is discussion and possible action, the acceptance and award of a contract for 3 ambulance re-chassis to Fire Trucks Unlimited in the amount of $200,505. Chief Haynes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I had my stuff up here neatly, but it kind of took a digger on this. So. Let me get reorganized here.
We initially sent out 14 requests for proposals to every ambulance company that we could think of in the country. We received 3 notifications back. One was from Braun saying that they will only retrofit onto Braun product. Our cabin our boxes are wheel coach. They're not Braun, so they were out. Another vendor came back and said they couldn't meet the timelines, so they refused to submit. And the final one that we received was from Fire Trucks Unlimited, in that amount that you stated. I've gone through the proposals. They all meet our specifications. We tentatively sat down with them last week as well and went through the specifications again. I feel that we're fairly fortunate, though. This is a Nevada company out of Henderson. Fairly close, we'll be able to go back and check on these. They actually post pictures on a daily basis and weekly basis of each build as it's being retrofitted, so we'll be able to keep a close eye on these. Any other questions I might be able to answer on these?
Garrett, if we were to buy new ones, what's the cost today?
That's a great question. Ambulances for what we have today are going between $180,000 to $195,000. So we're basically retrofitting 3 of our existing for what it would cost for 2 ambulances if we were to buy new. And again, our guys have taken very, very good care of our boxes. It's not the boxes that we have issues with. It's the drivetrain, turbos. It's that all of them have the 6.0 engine, the Ford 6.0, which is just not reliable. We've actually had ambulances, as you know, break en route to hospitals with patients in the back and not a good situation. Thanks, Mr. D.A. I see you down there giggling.
When did you take them out and run towards the hospital after?
Yeah. We just hope it's downhill. No, we've had to transfer to RIMSA, to Carson City, to other agencies. So for clarification, this kind of rolls in the second agenda item as well, but this is the RFP for just the transfer of the boxes to be taken off our existing cabin chassis and be placed onto new cabin chassis. And the new cabin chassis are an additional item on the agenda. This is just for the work to get that done.
Any public comment on this?
Well, motion then to accept and award the contract for 3 ambulance re-chassis to the Fire Trucks Unlimited in the amount of not to exceed $200,505.
I'll second the motion.
Been moved and seconded. To approve the contract of $200,505. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Move along to item number 23, discussion of possible action. The purchase of 3 Dodge Ram 4500 regular cab chassis through Nevada State Purchasing or other vendor if less than state purchasing in the amount not to exceed $142,113. These will be the vehicles that will go ahead and hold the boxes that we just awarded the contract for.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. This amount is straightforward. It's exactly the amount from state purchasing. I do need to make you aware of a situation that we're in with state purchasing currently, though. The 2014 state purchase contract pricing has ended. They're no longer producing the 2014 cabs. We're right at a very strange window. There's no bid let for the 2015s. I've been told that they will honor the 2014 costs. The sooner that we can place our order, the sooner we'll be on that list to receive these cabin chassis. They're anticipating, believe it or not, 16 to 18 weeks to even receive these cabin chassis from Dodge. These are a little bit heavier cabin chassis than we currently have as well. We're hoping that with the bigger brakes, axles, This is one of the cabin chassis that our shop strongly recommended going to. Our existing ambulances with a patient and two attendees and a driver are actually over gross vehicle weight currently, so this will get us out of that problematic area as well. So, and we have checked nationally. There are no other cabin chassis to be found with an ambulance prep package already installed, and that's why we asked to have this written this way, is not to exceed amount and look at other vendors. But we've searched, and I think we're stuck with 16 to 18 week window before we can receive these, unfortunately. And I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that these last that much longer without replacing a turbo or a high-pressure injection pump for $3,000 or something of that nature.
Any public comment on this?
Okay, motion to approve the purchase of three Dodge Ram 4,500 regular cap chassis through Nevada State Purchasing or other vendor, if less than state purchasing, in an amount not to exceed $142,113.
Second motion.
Moving to second, approval of the purchase of the three cap chassis not to exceed $142,113. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Great. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay. I got to need a drink of water first on this.
You and me both.
Moving along to item number 24. Discussion and possible action. Acceptance and award of a contract for three Type 1 triple combination structural firefighting engines to Fiera Fire Apparatus in the amount of $1,640,828.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, this is a USDA loan along with the ambulances. We sent out 37 invitations to bid on this product. We received four responses back. Again, four responses out of 37 invitations. We'll start with Pierce did submit their submittal. It was all sealed bids that were opened in the county manager's office with Jesse Fain. Pierce's bid was $1,677,232. Unfortunately, they didn't include a lot of the loose equipment that was necessary for this piece of equipment. So although it looks like on paper they were about $30,000, $37,000 higher, in reality they were probably about $90,000 to $100,000 higher because they didn't. They chose not to bid all the loose equipment. The next one that did submit a bid was H&E, traditionally known as E1. They were at $1.883 million. And again, they did not submit a full complement of loose equipment with their bid submittal, so they probably would have been over, probably right around $2 million. And I actually missed one here. I'm sorry. Rosenbauer was $1.677. Pierce was 1.883. Sorry, I have my notes backwards here. H&E equipment sales, the E1 was 1.945 million. And again, none of those vendors submitted a complete list according to our specifications. Ferrara did submit a complete specification list with all the loose equipment, and they came in at low bid without any exceptions at 1.640 million. And I know that that's a big number. I almost had a heart attack. But we knew, you know, when we secured this loan, it was for $2 million. We knew that it was going to be this much. Unfortunately, that's just what fire engines cost.
What's the detail on the USDA loan for the vehicle?
I would look to Mr. Gallagher for help with that a little bit. The detail is, can you help me with that? Because I apologize, Mr. Commissioner, but Hugh's really done all the financial sides of it. What this was, and I can give you my perspective from the layman term, is we had the 2002 Pierce fire apparatus that we purchased, which were the Type 2 engines for wildland and structural firefighting. That was paid off last year. That loan amount was $160,000. What we've done is structured this new loan payment to be that same amount, $160,000. I believe the terms are 20 years. And do you remember the percent? It's under, I can't remember the exact percent, but it's under 4%.
Yeah, it's about 3-something.
I want to say it's 3.79, but please don't.
It's
I'm so glad that USDA can do this stuff because, you know, had we gone through regular financing with anybody else, we're looking at APR probably about 5 to 6, and USDA, or and no extended terms to for a 20-year payment. It'd have to be a 5-year payment. So thank God for USDA came in there and accepted this, and it's a very good deal on our behalf.
So they're funding 100% of the purchase price?
Yeah.
Yes.
At a 20.
Not unlike what they did for sewer plant, which meant that they were going to put. We had to put some money in, and then they had a grant that they assumed. So we had to go through a Wells Fargo for some short-term financing for them to get the project started, and they start up, and then they would pay that off, and then there's a grant, but then there's an extended period with that. On purchases of vehicles, for example, it's a much easier thing to do.
So we have a 20-year amortizing loan,
yep,
with the USDA,
right,
for these vehicles.
Right.
And what's the life expectancy of a vehicle like this, Gary?
20 to 25 years. NFPA, National Fire Protection Association, recommends that you take them out of frontline at 20 years. And they say you can rent them from 5 to 10 years if you refurbish them. So technically probably up to 30 years. And that was one of the categories that's a great question. That's one of the categories USDA looked at heavily.
As long as you keep the certification, although you found with some of the older fire trucks, you can't even get pumps and things like that. They don't make them anymore. And you can't get replacement parts.
No.
If we get plenty of parts, we wouldn't have to keep buying new fire trucks.
It's planned obsolescence.
That's right.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, even on brake parts, which sounds ridiculous, but you can't find parts for brakes on some of these engines anymore.
They must be attached to the union.
And just as a reminder, too, we have looked for another grant and other resources to purchase these. We've been denied at every front. I've yet to find. Well, there's one grant that we've applied for the last 3 years and been denied, and the competition nationally is almost impossible.
Any public comment on this?
I had a quick comment. How's this put us now on total equipment overall? Is this going to get us fixed up pretty good with all of these purchases?
It will. I think over the next probably 3 to 5 years, we need to look at some of our Type 3 brush engines. But all in all, this will get us in very, very good condition. As you'll remember, we redid all of our water tenders last year. This will take care of our ambulances. Our Type 2 structure brush engines are 2002, so they're 12 years old. But we've replaced all those pumps in the last 2 years or so. So I think we'll be in actually very good shape.
I don't remember this all being in the budget for the fire department.
It is within equipment acquisition.
In terms of eight payment each year, or the payment. Identical to what the brush truck payments will see. So, and does that include the rechassis of the ambulance?
Yes. Yep. Mr. Gallagher and I think that the board's direction tried to roll this all into one.
Well, I think that given the amount of equipment that you've been able to pick up out of DRMO for virtually nothing, certainly offsets the price of these items. I couldn't even begin to add up what, you know, for the Caterpillars and the tractors and the trailers and all of those stuff that, you know, that's, and that stuff makes us money on these out-of-state fires. So.
Yeah, it's a big number to look at.
It would be way up in the multi-millions.
Oh, yeah.
What's the annual payment you...
I don't have that material, Mr. Gillen. I'm sorry.
160. It's just a hair under. I rounded up to 160. It's 159,000 for all intents. Yeah. And that is in the budget under equipment acquisition.
Well, there being no other comment, then I would make a motion to accept and award the contract to Ferrer Firefighting Apparatus in the amount of $1,640,828 for three Type 1 triple combination trucks.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Put the order in here.
Thank you. And Mr. Bryce Anderson is here from Ferrara as well, and I appreciate him coming up. He's worked very, very closely with us during the writing of the specifications. They've been a great asset to pull from.
How far out of New Orleans is
it? They're about 50 miles.
Okay, we'll check on you when the Niners come out to beat the Saints.
And I'm sorry, one more quick thing. Ferrara is the only company that adhered to the time constraints of 210 days. So within 7 months, roughly, we should have these in place and operational.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming up. All right, moving along to item number 25, tour. Discussion possible action, reimbursement for fire alarm system at the Gold Hill train station, requested by Tim Fager. Tim, you want to come up?
Thanks for putting this on your agenda. It's just a little bit of housekeeping from our past relationship. We like to, at the Gold Hill Historical Society, by the way, Kim Figert, we like to have all our dealings as upfront and transparent as possible. So we went out of our way to give you guys enough information to document what our request is and why we requested it. Including in this rare case, privileged information between attorney and client, just to make sure that you had an opportunity to understand our position. So I think I would suspect you've had an opportunity to look it over, and all I've really got here is to answer any questions you might have.
If you'll indulge me, I do have a staff recommendation since I authorized placement on the agenda of this item, but I did not feel it appropriate to put a staff report together for it with a recommended motion. The district attorney and I discussed this, and I think the general consensus is the decision to involve attorneys was independent of any county action, so the staff would not recommend reimbursing Mr. Rankle $350. As far as the other item, this is a lease, apparently. We've not been provided the lease, to the best of my knowledge. And I think I see where there's a monthly monitoring cost also associated with this equipment. Typically, the county has moved away from Bergarella. We use a company called PDI. So what I'd like to do, or to suggest to the commission, is you authorize myself and District Attorney Maddox to make payment in an amount not to exceed the $532.36, but upon our satisfaction that we can either cancel this system or at least integrate it into ours with both the fire department for fire suppression monitoring and any other items that this system might be doing out there.
This system's still operational?
It is, correct you? Yeah, it is.
Okay. I don't know if that was. It's November, I guess. So this thing is, I think, due to expire in February of next year. This lease would be.
Yeah, we'd want to see the lease, so. Kim, what's the $863.36? You say the reimbursement for fire system in Gold Hill, the amount of $863.36. That's irrespective of the legal fees.
That's irrespective of the legal fees. Because of the circumstances under which we were saddled with this, in other words, we ended up after the fact of losing the lease still having to pay off the contract, we were forced to demand that the alarm company provide us something for the money we had invested. Now, all through the years that we have been working on that project, not only grant money from the state and other places, but money that basically came out of our own pockets went into different things on that building to keep it up. So what we have to do here is we have to decide, okay, what was paid for by grant money and outright belongs to the building, and what was money that belongs to the Gold Hill Historical Society that wasn't necessarily deeded to the building, but we just found necessary to keep the building in a safe condition. That was more an option of ours. We could have let the building go without this fire alarm system, but we chose not to. Had we had a different outcome of last year's meeting, I don't even know that this would be an issue. But we ended up being left holding the bag for the price of that installation. So we went back and we researched it with the company, and we paid for the initial installation fees, which are separate from ongoing monitoring from month-to-month basis. And there's a document in there that has that number on it, around 400 and some change. And then the final cost of the purchase of the device, which is money that they had not billed us or was not covered under a lease agreement. Had we stayed in the building, then the lease agreement would have eventually covered the whole thing. But that was not the case. So we're just basically trying to recover our expenses incurred both as a result of our having to leave and because of the result of having that whole thing installed. In other words, the entire cost of the device.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner Gilman. I think the question is, there's an invoice in here for the purchase of security equipment, but then there's another invoice for the lease of the equipment. So for the purchase, there is a lease.
At first, we leased it. Subsequently, we had to purchase it. And one of those documents reflects the fact that in the end, we still had to pay $536 to complete that, beside the $400 we paid to install it. We since settled with the alarm company for a smaller amount, and that gets you down to the amount, the $800 that we feel we're due.
But the $800 doesn't include lease payment, or it does? Or the 6 months? The $863 includes some lease payment?
No. No lease payments. Well, and lease payments, under the circumstances for that, are basically an ongoing thing. It's not what you'd call, before we had to purchase that equipment, the lease payments were basically an agreement that we had that was the same thing as back when you used to lease your phone from AT&T. They retained ownership of the phone. It was part of your phone bill. It was just an ongoing thing. It cost us $234 a quarter to be able to lease that equipment from them, separately from the installation cost that we paid for up front, but to lease that equipment and to keep it monitored and functioning. Now, as soon as we had to take ownership of it, we were responsible for the entire cost. So, in other words, both the installation that we did pay for up front and what we negotiated in the end for the actual price of the equipment. So that's basically what we're looking at, the value of the equipment and the installation and nothing else.
Have you continued lease payments from the date that you vacated the building?
No, because at that point we come up with this issue. Legally, we couldn't keep paying the alarm company for a service that we could not receive. And legally, we were bound by the original contract to continue X amount of time. So in order for us to keep from getting our toes stomped on by the Internal Revenue Service, we had to make sure we got some value for our payment to finish off that contract. And it wasn't like the alarm company could just say, all right, we'll go and monitor alarm on your car for the rest of that. We had no reason to have any more business with them. So they agreed in order to provide us value so that we were legally whole for the rest of that contract to sell us the fire alarm system.
And that sales price was $388.36, correct?
Well, that was the end of the entire cost of it. That was the last payment, that the last of the value, and that value includes both the installation and the price of the equipment.
On Slim's request and have our accounting department take a look at the lease and the calculation. I don't know that I can't arrive at a conclusion based on what I'm seeing here.
Can you provide that lease?
Yeah.
Well, and the service contract. I mean, the lease almost, we can't with you. The lease sounds like it's now moot. You bought the equipment. Is that, am I correct?
Correct.
So the lease
now modified the lease.
Take the lease. At least on the price of the equipment, it comes up to this number.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, that's why I can't.
I know.
This sheet I have here says lease installation, $475. Now, that's not included in lease payments. That's something we had to pay up front to get them to come down and fit the building for the device.
So you're looking to recapture the cost of the equipment that you installed, but not the lease payments that you made?
Oh, no. No, we made lease payments from when the contract started 2 or 3 years ago forward. We're not asking for any of that. That would be 60-something bucks a month going way back. We paid for the water main, too. The county installed it. We paid for all the material for that. It was $2,000. We still have the bill. We're not asking for that at all.
We're going to keep the equipment.
Well, we own
it. We need to assess the equipment's of any value. If PDI's equipment can integrate in, we would certainly consider it, but that's going to require. Gary, do you know if PDI's doing the monitoring now?
I believe so.
Yeah, so it's probably equipment we would have no interest in, but I'd want to see what we're using out there, what PDI chose to use.
I don't believe we need to have you take a look at the contract at the lease and validate, verify, and tell us what the amount is, and then give that consideration for the equipment installation.
My only concern here is, again, it sounds to me like that lease was the way they first approached the solution, because they didn't necessarily have the whole lump sum money. Then after our lease was not renewed, that negotiated the outright purchase of the equipment that had been previously leased. So the current lease, or the old lease really, I don't think is a it's a moot document. And I'd be looking at Bill to dip on out the lease.
Once you have that in my hand, the list is not to exceed the $830 being the question.
And then I'd like some guidance as to whether you choose to want to pay attorney's fees or not. To the best of my knowledge, the county precipitated no action that forced access to an attorney, nor has the attorney really added any value. It's just added $350 in costs.
Yeah, I think we have to direct staff to and the district attorney to review this. Mr. Fager has agreed to supply the documents. I suggest that amount to not exceed $863.36.
So moved.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, good enough. Kim, if you'll go ahead and get those documents to Pat, and he and the district attorney will review them.
Okay.
And the decision will then be made on the
Could I ask somebody to mail me a specific list of the documents that they want to review so I'm just not handing them a whole file full of stuff? I think just the lease agreement and anything else.
I'll email you. Okay.
That works.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll get probably tomorrow. Yeah.
All right.
Good enough. Thank you. All right. Moving right along. Item 26. This is under community development planning. Discussion, possible action, special use permit, extension and amendment. 2012-014-A-1-2014.
Thank you, Commissioner. Staff is recommending continuing this file. We have just received the information that we needed to hear the file at the Planning Commission meeting, so we're hearing it on Thursday, but we did have it noticed, so we just need to open the agenda and continue it to September 16th at 10 a.m. in the courthouse.
Okay. Any public comment? Motion for continuation. We're going to continue this to the next regular scheduled meeting. Well, this room is 10 a.m.
I was hoping that thing would be up in northern here.
No kidding.
So I'll make a motion to continue that
to September 6 o'clock here in the courthouse.
16th. Right here in the courthouse, 6 o'clock.
Wait, 6? 10. 10 a.m.
Wait, what is that?
Is it here or the Planning Commission?
No, it's the County Commission.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
10, I'm sorry. We're here in the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
10 a.m. Have a second?
I'll second it.
We move to a second to continue this to September 16th. This room, 10 a.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. All right. Item number 27, discussion of possible action. Parcel map 2014-012 by Vincent Griffith.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Go along with that.
Yeah, just a short introduction. The applicant is Vince, who is here with us tonight, today. sorry. The project is located at 2633 Waltham Way in McCarran. It is not within the boundary. The applicant is requesting a parcel map dividing one parcel into two. Again, the details of all this file are listed in your staff report, and I'm more than happy to go through them if you would like. Otherwise, we can move into questions for the applicant and staff.
Any public comment on this?
Motion to approve.
Are there findings involved on this?
Yes, there are. The findings of fact. The parcel map must comply with NRS 278.461 through 278.469 relating to the division of land into four or less parcels, and the parcel map complies with all federal and Nevada state and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps and permitted land uses. and the parcel map will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity, and the conditions under the parcel map do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Surrey County Code Chapter 17.35I2 Heavy Industrial Zone or any other federal, Nevada state, or county regulations.
Anyone have any questions on anything? No?
No, it's like a pretty simple deal.
Right there to do?
Yeah. Looking for a motion.
Motion to approve.
I'll second the motion to approve.
It's been moved and seconded to approve after hearing the findings of fact. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Okay.
Alrighty, move along to item number 28. This is possible action, licensing board second readings. Austin?
All right, thank you. The business license division requests, and I'll, as always, I'll explain those that are to be approved and those that are recommended for continuation. So A, B, C, D, and E, G, and J are recommended for approval, and I'll just read the first word of each of those. So A is Chewy, B is Peak, C is A&J Paving, D is doing business as Red Rock, E is Martinez, G is W.G. Yates, and J is Ritchie Brothers. Those are ready to go.
So moved.
I second the movement.
Okay, it's been moved to second to approve A, B, C, D, E, G, and J. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
I might add Ritchie Brothers that you just approved actually is a twice-a-year auction that up until the boundary line adjustment, that auction occurred in Washoe County. They're now licensed in Story County. We contacted them and made sure that any reportable sales tax arising from their most recent sale also gets reported to our paper. So.
I might also report to the board that I had a nice conversation with their administrative staff, and they said it's a breath of fresh air to escape and come to Story County. What used to take them 2 weeks to get processed and get through now took place in less than an hour. They said this is a great place to do business.
Be careful making that escape. The last time you said that on TV, we
heard there's more. So we are recommending continuation of F, which is Ardaw Metal, H, AZ Welding, and I, Ross Co. ENT.
Okay, so moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to continue F, H, and I. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Great.
Okay.
Now we're moving on to the best part of all. Number 29 is public comment. Mr. Fager? You'll have to come up to the podium, I'm sorry, because otherwise we can't get you on recording.
Kim Fager, Gold Hill Historical Society. Upon reflection, I've had a little bit of trouble with emails from the county manager's office, so I think I ought to request it if you would just send me a letter outlining those documents, and we'll get them to you. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Who's next? Get your arm halfway up. There we go. Come on up, Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident, public comment. First was a question in regards to a meeting. This tomorrow, it was announced a risk management meeting. Is there a time and a place on that?
It's internal staff. It's not a public meeting.
Oh, really? There's no such thing as private meetings of county government.
Yeah.
So I'd like the record to reflect the announcement of a meeting that's going to be close to the public, alleged risk management meeting. And at the last meeting, I brought up my concerns about the deed to the Crystal Bar building. I was wondering if anybody got any update on that. If not, I got to take time to get it on the agenda of the next VCTC meeting. So could anybody?
That has been researched and is continuing to be looked at by a number of people, including Denny Dotson, Jim Chapman. I think Bill at your office.
I was at last meeting.
It is being worked on. And there are issues. Thank
you. Okay. I'll present that to the Fair and Rec Board.
Just a change from VCCTA to VCTC. If anything.
Any other public comment? Okay. Thank you.